welcome to the Soccer Coaching Podcast, brought to you in association with our friends at Soccer Coach Weekly, reflecting our shared ambition to help coaches have the most effective, enjoyable and successful coaching journey for them and their players. We hope you enjoyed this episode and thanks for listening. Kevin, Ray, how are we both doing?
Good.
Very well. I'll let Kev go first. Yeah, all good. You?
Well, go on, Kev. Start off by telling us where you are, if you don't mind. If you know where you are.
I think I'm in the Atlantic Ocean still. I don't think I've crossed into the Med. So for anyone who doesn't know, I like cruising a lot and traveling a lot. So not quite a coaching nomad like Ray is, but I hope to get there. And I need to blend coaching, cruising, and AI. I need to find that niche somewhere along the line.
There's a Venn diagram there, Kev, that could take you anywhere in the world with that, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Well, it's definitely more exciting than wherever, I'm sure, where you are, Ray. Where are you, Ray? Are you home or are you?
Well, I'm in Lincolnshire, which kind of sounds a little bit, you know, not quite as fanciful. But no, my travelling days are far more limited than they once were. So, but yeah, all good.
Okay, well, I'm stuck in sunny London again like normal, so nothing exciting for me either. But I think you've won that one, Kevin, so well done. Look, first and foremost, thanks again for Ray for putting this together. We spoke briefly before we hit the record button, but Kevin, I generally had to check back through our back catalogue to see if you've been on it before, because I've watched so much of your stuff and followed it that I thought we'd had you on the podcast already. Like, that's on me. But it's great that we finally got you on the podcast, and thanks to Ray for organising this. And the topic, I think, obviously, is probably overdue, like maybe by 5 years overdue, but certainly something that, you know, has crept up on all of us in our lives over the last probably 12 plus months, at least I would say for many of us, but for me maybe the last 12 months or so. So it's an interesting one. Ray, I guess this is something that we'll come on some more detail in a minute, but this is something you, in the background, you've been looking at as well, I suppose.
Yeah. So Kev and I have been putting some things together for a course next month, and it's probably the last 2 years, Scott, I've gone down the ChatGPT rabbit hole, and I'm far from being an AI expert. So when you talk about videos and all that kind of stuff that you know people share, that's not what I'm talking about. But I did, when it started to become known and popular, I did intentionally lean in, because it just felt important, and maybe you say we're too late. I think in the fullness of time, people will say, well, we're talking about this actually quite early, because for some people, maybe it's the first time where there's a proper pinch point between AI tools and football coaching. The very first session, Kev, you'll laugh at this, because I put into ChatGPT a year ago, put together, Kev will explain why this is bad later, I'm sure, but put a 90-minute session together for 18 players who are 16 years old, and the topic should be whatever, playing out from the back, include some diagrams. And it was dreadful. It was absolutely dreadful. And Kev's nodding away there. And that was my first impression. So I'm also conscious that if that was people's first impression, they might be a little bit like, well, I'll either do my own, or I'll get some inspiration from a Google search or a book or whatever. But since then, and since getting to know Kev's work more, that the idea of what's possible has just grown and grown, literally exponentially. So for those listening that look at AI suspiciously and aren't quite sure, you know, trust me, it's your time to lean into this, because it might just separate you from the rest.
Well, I'm your perfect listener then to this podcast, because that's probably where I am. So, and introduces quite nicely to Kevin then. So, Kev, if you don't mind, just off the back of what Ray said there, before we get into the nitty gritty about what you've been doing, and we're going to look at that in a lot more detail, hopefully, just a bit about you, your background, you know, and how you got to this point would be brilliant.
Yeah, no problem, Scott. I've been coaching for about 16 years now, give or take. My story isn't unique. It's probably the same sort of story you hear all the time. You know, my son was playing on a football team and the coach just sort of left, no fanfare, nothing like that. He just left, handed his jacket back. Team was in a bit of limbo, and all the parents kind of looked at me and went, oh, Kevin will do it. And you're stuck in that place between, I don't want to do it, but if I don't do this, the team will fold. So that's where I was way back then. And you know what? I picked up the jacket. I got on with it. I'm not saying it was any sort of success. It was kind of lost in the first 2 years of coaching, just making it up as I go along, searching online for drills, all the stuff that new coaches tend to do. But I was really, really fortunate that in my network, locally and online, I got a lot of support and a lot of help from different coaches, as I say, locally and around the world. So that kind of accelerated my learning from when I started to eventually to where I got to with that team. Since then, I've moved on various teams, various levels, worked in foundations, worked for professional clubs, worked at every level of the game, I think, from players from 1 year old all the way through to 70 years old. So I've got vast experience at different levels, but I'll never ever forget that initial help that I got. So 5, 6 years ago, I went all in on social media, trying to share my advice and my experience to coaches, my resources as well. But what I kind of found was, Scott and Ray, that there's a lot of people doing that, right? And
Lots,
it's
yeah.
lots and lots of people doing that. And it's, you see some stuff online sometimes, you kind of roll your eyes just because of the way it's presented. And I think these days you need to be a better marketer than you do an experienced coach, if that makes sense. So, long story short, after a while, I took my platform onto a community platform called School. So I thought if I could get coaches onto that, it's focused, there's no noise, there's no social media noise, there's no coaches on there maybe spreading a bit of misinformation trying to sell what they've built. And School, that School platform's been very successful. There's 1800 coaches now signed up to that. However, with 1800 coaches comes a lot of time pressure and a lot of stress, and it was impacting my family life having to, try and help all these coaches, not just in my community, but through social media, through emails, and through different platforms. And that's how I got on to AI, which I'm sure we'll come to in a little bit. So that was a kind of a whirlwind tour of where I came from and where I've got to. There's lots of holes in that story, but that's kind of high level the journey that I've been on.
Perfect. Go on, Ray. You're going to say something, I can tell.
Kev, you were nodding when I spoke earlier about the ChatGPT, make me a session. Maybe the best way to start is to go, why was that experience so poor for me at that moment? And maybe also linking in the drawbacks to maybe just Googling stuff. I think Googling things for inspiration is good and it's quite common. But lifting things as they are from a search or from a ChatGPT, what were my limitations that day?
Yeah, it was interesting what you said, Ray, because I think there's maybe three or four types of people in terms of interfacing with AI at the moment. There's people who are all in, who are really, really learning about it. And I'm seeing apps now being thrown up every day around football, but it's mainly professional football. And that's because the data is there. So you can build a tactics board and you can integrate that with real data in terms of Arsenal, Chelsea, all the big teams. So you can actually make it nice. And you can pull those players in and plot them on the tactics board. You can do it from an analysis point of view because there's so much football data out there. It's easy to then interface with that data. And there's people who maybe use it for day-to-day activities to help them out. There's people who have just said basically this AI stuff is nonsense. It'll never ever work in football. And there's people that don't even know about it at all. And there's still a lot of people that don't even know what AI is and what it can do. So it's useful for me to explain what AI actually is because it's just an engine, right? So you have to give it a data layer to work with. And the AI engine, the AI layer, just interfaces with that data layer, makes sense of it, and provides you with information. So in your example, Ray, you have to think ChatGPT's data layer is the whole internet. It pulls in sources from the whole of human history, essentially. So when you're asking it a question, unless you are being really defined with that question, with that prompt, that's what it's called, ChatGPT is going to try and pull information in from different sources to be balanced. It's going to try and pull in information from the most legitimate source, so FAs, associations, organizations that have got legitimacy behind them, but also maybe a random sports session planner session or a Reddit forum or Twitter or other social media forums. So unless you're really defined with that prompt, Ray, you might get something back that's not a right fit for your environment, your players, your stage as a coach, and the age and stage of your players. So that's maybe where it's gone wrong in terms of your query. I don't know what you typed exactly, but you have to be extremely defined to get quality responses back.
So your kind of venture into football GPT is a way of answering that, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. So all I did was really, it's a long story, but long story short, I started using ChatGPT and tools just to help me out day to day. Because as I said, there was a lot of time pressure on me on what I do. I've got a full-time IT job as well. So a lot of time pressure. So I started thinking about how to use ChatGPT essentially to save time in my life. How can I automate some tasks? And then I started to think, wait a minute, this stuff's really, really powerful. And then Claude, which is another provider, they released basically, they allowed you to run their system on top of your data. So it would you could actually give it the data layer and it would allow you to run your system on top of that. So then the cogs started to turn in my head. Okay, what if we could filter out all the noise? And I've said basically, ChatGPT, garbage in, garbage out. So what if we could filter out the garbage? What if we could make the data layer only verified sources? So English FA, Dutch FA, Scottish FA, all this information is online. So what if I put it all into a single database and then put my ChatGPT version on top of that, which is Football GPT? Anyone who asks Football GPT a question surely is going to get a good, solid answer back. And that's the case. And that's what I did. So I just built my own data layer array and I filtered out all of the noise. So you're not getting random sports sessions planners, and it's not just them, by the way. That's just probably they're the most prevalent on the internet. You're not getting anything from a Reddit thread. You're getting answers tied to methodology, and it's the feedback that I'm getting from it is very, very accurate and it's very, very useful.
So, sorry, Scott, I don't
No,
want to
go.
hijack it because I
No, no.
feel like I've just got a follow-up after follow-up. So, well, I think the important thing for people to know is it's not just a session planner, is it? Because that's probably just the entry level to it. Some of the stuff I've seen where you, for example, you're changing scribbled session plans into an animation. Is that right? I don't know what you'd call it exactly, but there was a video. I've seen a video uploaded of a player like completing some sort of technical activities, and the platform is assessing the strengths and weaknesses of that player's movement and technical ability. Like what exactly do we have at our fingertips? The average coach, I'm not, before this was for analysts, wasn't it? An analyst department at big clubs, you know what I mean? Now it's for me and you with an internet connection.
Yeah, exactly. And there's clubs like Nottingham Forest who are using ChatGPT on top of their data to provide information. You know, is there a correlation between Chris Wood running more in a game and scoring more goals? That's been used in the Premier League at that level. I know that for a fact. What I have built initially was that you feed it some data and it makes sense of it and gives you an answer. But it's quickly grown in the space of, I mean, we're only 4 months since launch. It's quickly grown from just an AI assistant, which gives you answers, to a coach's workbench, as you say, Ray. So I started to think, how can I help mainly grassroots coaches save time and money by providing them with tools powered by AI that gives them information they need quickly? So again, this is a very long story. I'll maybe delve into it a bit later if we're doing a little demo, but I started to think, okay, I've got loads of scribbled session plans. How can I make them digital? So basically, I built something where you take a photo of it, upload the session plan, and it will turn it into an animated session plan. So I went one step further. It now animates it for you. So you have that in your Football GPT profile. It's saved and you can refer to it whenever you want. I've
Excellent.
just built something where you say you have 100, 200 of these. And you're trying to make sense of that. It's like a catalog. You've got to search through it. I've just built the AI interface to it. So you can type, oh, give me all the session plans on finishing. And it will give you all the session plans on finishing. Give me all the session plans on finishing, which involve 10 players. And it'll give you all the session plans on finishing that will involve 10 players. So again, we're saving coaches time and money there because to recreate those session plans, those written session plans in another tool, you'd have to drag everything around. You'd have to do all the stuff that you need to do to get that digitized. Football GPT now does it in 20 seconds. You know, That's saving time. It's also saving money. Ray, you're right. There's a technique analyzer. So I think technical coaching is dying. It's a dying art. A lot of people understand tactics and they try and fix technical problems with tactical solutions. So instead of just complaining and moaning about that on Twitter like I do, I built a technique analyzer. You upload a 15 to 30 second clip of a player doing a technical action. It breaks that technical action down. It does a skeleton overlay, and I'll show you this later. And it rates each technical action, you know, the hip position, the knee position, the foot position, and it gives you feedback on what to improve. It gives you an exercise that you can do to improve. So again, not just complaining for the sake of complaining, but providing solutions to do that. I have just launched, and I'll show you this later, a facility where you can record a match, you can upload the match, you can either stream it via a YouTube link or upload it directly, and it will timestamp all the events. You can click the event, it'll take you to that event in the video, and it will then allow you to go into an AI engine. Sorry if I just cut my camera off there.
You
Yeah, that's
have.
okay.
We can still hear you. That's okay.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. Put it back on. Yeah, so you can then go to an event in a game and you can watch that event, but you can have a chat with Football GPT about it. How can we improve upon this? What can we do in training to prevent this from happening again? Or what can we do in training to keep this pattern going? So there's I think 20 tools in Football GPT now, and there's at least 10 to 12 world firsts.
Kevin,
It's
you are making my notepad and pen look very dated. I'll be honest with you. Sorry, no, not my 20 notebooks and pens that I lose around the house. That's, you're making me look like I feel like I'm 120 years old.
So Scott, I've got another tool which is a reflection tool where you can take a photo of those notes, upload them, and it will turn them into basically a second brain. So it will
Oh.
catalog all of your notes. So you
That
can
is
go
something I definitely need. Second brain, my first one's gone.
well, you can go back anytime. You can type what, you know, I did this session and it involved this player and that player, and we did a finishing exercise. What was it? And it'll come back with that information. So to answer your question, Ray, I went the long way around there. I don't even know where we're going with this. I didn't set out to build all these things. I've just thought about it from a how can I help grassroots coaches point of view. And that has got me to this point. And I don't know where it can go next, but the community have been brilliant at providing feedback about improvements and things that we need to put in place. You know, the tactics board didn't have 6v6 on it, for example. Somebody came and said, can you do 6v6? And when you click 6v6, it plots out all the players and you can switch formations in a single click. So I'm relying on people telling me what they want and I'm building it.
Well, this is the kind of the essence of AI, right? Because I think up until a couple of years ago, we were used to things coming out, and every year there would be an update of that thing, including like our phone and things like that, or an app every now and again. And usually the update was kind of a cosmetic one for stuff like that. It feels with AI and ChatGPT and your stuff and Claude and all that, it feels like every time you hit update, every time it refreshes, it is getting better literally day by day. I'm not exaggerating by saying that, am I? Theoretically, because the more stuff that's online, the more stuff it's pulling in and making itself better also, right?
We need to be careful there, though, Ray, because there's a lot of noise, right? There's a lot of people on Twitter now who are saying, I made 20 billion with Claude Code in 5 minutes a day, and you know, all this sensationalist stuff that's just not true. Not true at all. So I mentioned earlier on there are a lot of tools that are focused around the professional market because the data's there. There's not a lot around the grassroots market because that unfortunately, that's not in data. There's hardly any data on grassroots football. There's hardly any data about what happens on a wet pitch on a Tuesday night when you only have 10 players turning up instead of 16. So AI gets us so far, but we need to apply our knowledge and our understanding of things on top of that. So, yes, there's continual evolution in this space, in different parts of this space, but the human element, the human in the loop, can never be replaced. Unless you're building stuff that has a massive amount of data like professional football. So I don't know where it tops out, Ray, but it might feel like this just continual evolution, but it's maybe just a little 1% increment every so often, if I'm being honest.
Right. That human element you spoke about. Explain that a little bit more, because I think the saving grace for some of us will be the fact that we are human and we can build relationships and all that sort of stuff with players. Is it, I will accept that some people now, you spoke about four groups and the third group who are suspicious of AI. They were probably the same group who didn't like when people started to Google stuff 20 years ago. Am I right in saying that? So where's the pinch point between people feel like AI is cheating and, well, actually, you still have to be a good coach. You still have to have, the people skills, the human side of it.
I'm old enough to remember when data analytics came along, and there was a lot of coaches back then that said, "Oh, I trust my eyes. I'll never believe the data." And look where we are now with that. So it's important to say though that AI around football, it's just a tool. It's just a tool. It's no more or no less than that. It's how you use the tool. And I think we're at the point now where if you're not trying to understand the tool, you will be left behind. Because of all the things I've just described, the saving time element is huge, especially at a certain level of football. There's a lot to do in a week, and you're having to pay a lot of staff to do that. But how is all that knowledge being joined up? I would question if it is fully. So with AI and with these tools, in a professional environment especially, all that knowledge can be put into one single system, and you can torture that system and get answers instantly. So that's where that side of the game is going to head, undoubtedly. From a grassroots point of view, you have to understand these people have got limited time every single week. So we, as people who can do this, have a responsibility, I think, to try and help them out as much as possible. And you can be skeptical about it. You don't need to use it, but if you do use the tool, I think it will save you that time and that money, as I said. It's no more than a tool, though. It doesn't replace relationships. It doesn't replace your eyes, and it doesn't replace the feel you get around football. And that's hard to describe. I'm sure you two know what I'm talking about. But when you're in a dressing room, you get a feel. None of this stuff replaces that.
Yeah, I mean, that's fascinating. Look, and I think in a minute, if it's okay, then we want to see some of this stuff in practice. If you don't mind doing a demo, and we can share the screen and do that in a second. But just, I'm thinking now from listening in, like you said, you've got a background in IT or you work in IT, which is great. So maybe just share a bit about what it should do. Because, and do you have to be a techie expert to be able to enjoy the benefits of, well, I'm not necessarily creating what you've created, but actually even using it? How technical minded do people have to be to actually get involved? And I'm sure the demo will help us with that. But I'm just like, you're passionate about it and you obviously know what you're talking about. Do you need to have an IT background to be able to get involved in this?
Short answer, no. And the reason I say that is because I've started a free community where coaches can join. They can learn about AI in football and how to build things. In that community, I take you from A to Z, completely free. Could a coach build something like Football GPT without technical knowledge? I sincerely doubt that, just because there might be a security implication, most of all. When you're collecting customer data, you have to be conscious about security, and IT security is still a high-level activity. But in terms of building something around what I've talked about, feeding it your knowledge, getting answers based on what your experiences are and the information that you've given it, yeah, absolutely. Anyone could build that. And in Ray's course in a few weeks, I'm going to teach people how to do that. So no technical knowledge required. It's fairly straightforward, if I'm being honest, but I'm saying that because I know about it. I know
Yeah.
it's not easy for football coaches are notoriously IT illiterate. They are. I'm not going to name names here, but football coaches at a very high level don't really understand IT, and they don't want to, because why would you spend time learning that when you are applying what you know and your craft very successfully at a certain level, right? That just becomes a distraction. So we're all like that. But I've been very fortunate. My IT background has maybe given me a little bit of a leg up, but anyone can do this. You're essentially just speaking to an AI engine and telling it what you want, and it's going off and building it. But again, just to set expectations here, it's not going to be security conscious. It's not going to worry about
Yeah.
customer data, and it's not going to worry about all the things that you need to worry about when you run a business.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, I think if it's okay then, Kevin, would you be happy to try and do a demo? Now, I appreciate obviously, for audience, some will be audio only. So you might have to talk through some of this stuff. They won't be able to see it necessarily. But for those that watch on the YouTube channel, they'll be able to see the pictures as well. But if you don't mind trying to talk us through, also a technical IoT demo can often have bumps on that, but let's see how it runs. But if you're happy to share, we can just try and talk through like the platform, what it is you're going to demonstrate, and you know how your customers might use this as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do get very excited about this stuff. So apologies for
Nothing
getting
wrong
really
with that.
excited about it. I just want to temper everyone's expectations in terms of this is just a tool. I might act like it might solve all the world's problems, but it is just a tool. Let me just try and share this now. Let me know if you can see it, guys.
Yep, that's come up. Yep.
This has been away for a little while, so let me just refresh it. So as I've said, I've built this. It's evolved over the last 4 months. We've got sign-ups from, these are not clubs, these are for people and coaching staff from different clubs. So it's growing all the time. I won't go into any sort of depth, but I just added this yesterday. So there's a question here, what is Football GPT? And it's got three options. You can click Chat GPT, Claude, or Perplexity. So I'm going to ask AI about AI. If I click Ask Chat GPT, let's see what happens here. It's running a bit slow. But I've just asked ChatGPT about Football GPT, and it's given me a clear breakdown of what Football GPT is and what it's for. So, if you're ever interested in what it actually is, and probably give a better answer than I would, go to the Football GPT homepage, click the button, and ChatGPT will give you an answer. So, that's me asking
Okay,
AI.
but just on that then, Kevin, just by way of an example, then I don't want to interrupt you because I want to see the demo, but something like that, when I use it, how do I know what that's given me is correct though? Like when you look at that now, is that accurate? Are you happy with that as a response? And is that something quite nicely? And have you programmed that response or is that actually just organically come back through chat and it's accurate?
Scott, thank you for thinking I have the power to control ChatGPT.
You've
Not
convinced me you have.
quite at that level. This is actually ChatGPT's interpretation of Football GPT. It's got sources, so it's obviously taking from the Football GPT website. And it's actually asking me now, I can show you an exact prompt to use as a coach so you get better answers immediately. So it's actually helping anyone who's using ChatGPT to use Football GPT. So it's completely independent. This goes back to what I said earlier on. It's balanced, it's independent, ChatGPT that is. It's balanced, it's independent. So it's always going to give you a balanced answer, no matter where it's pulling those sources of information in from. So I thought
Perfect.
that'd be a funny start, just to ask an AI engine about another AI engine. So that's that. 4,000, over 4,000 coaches now signed up. I think this 50,000 plus questions answered figure is out of date now. So it's heavily, heavily used. We're approaching over 3,000 animated practices generated. Now, this used to say animated drills, but Mr. Ray Power called me out on using the word drills. So I've changed it to practices. You'll be happy, Ray. But as I say, it's heavily used. I'm really, really proud of the growth that it's experienced so far. There's about 100, 150 coaches that sign up every day now and try it out. I get lots of feedback. I'm happy with the feedback that I get. One thing to say straight away. So what I said earlier on about ChatGPT not having your context as a coach and the context or the prompt or the question being key, how I've managed to get around that is I have set up this profile, my profile link in Football GPT. So you have to select what you are primarily, what's your role primarily, and then you have to fill in some details around your profile. So I have said that I'm an under-12s coach. I coach 9v9. My preferred formation is 3-4-1. My club name is Riverside FC. I've got 4 years as a coach. My typical training number. So you can fill all this stuff in. What my qualifications are. I've kind of lied a little bit and said I've got a UEFA Pro license. And I've also got selections here for my coaching priorities. So if I fill this in, and this happens immediately when you log in the first time, it prompts you to fill all this stuff in the chatbot. It's quite cool. I wish I had a little demo of it, but I don't. So it's actually all interactive. You're actually talking to it, and then it updates your profile. But the profile is key, right? Because now I'm going to take you to the chatbot. I'm going to show you why it's key. But this gives the whole Football GPT engine context. It knows about you now, knows your priorities, knows how many years you've been coaching, most importantly. So it's not going to give you this whiz-bang session if you've only been coaching for a year. It's going to tie stuff to the stage you're at as a coach, as well as the age and stage of your players. and your development priorities or your coaching priorities. Any questions about that part before we go on?
No, it looks great.
Loads.
Yeah.
Way too many to, and this, do you know what, how I feel now is kind of the look that was in Scott's eyes about 10 minutes ago, where you're like, where do I even start? You know what I mean? And this is why, genuinely, why myself and Kev got together with this, because we spoke about it, and it just felt, for me personally, it felt so big that I like what's day one of this look like for me? And when I think when people feel like that, you kind of back off, you know, and what we were doing today, and what Kevin and I will do, what Kev does in his platform as well, is just give people that day one and day two and help you build some stuff around it. So I've 100 questions, but also I feel like they'll all be answered in time anyway. So yeah, let's see.
Yeah, it's overwhelming. Let's just put it that way, Ray. I agree with it. It's overwhelming. I'm trying to simplify the journey for coaches so it's less overwhelming. But we've also got different modes here. Now, I know a lot of coaches and players that play Football Manager. So why should they go somewhere else to get Football Manager information? So I built that here. I know a lot of coaches and players who also are interested in professional scouting. So I've built a scouting element to this. I'm not going to
Yeah,
go into that
what
today.
if you were more than one? If I was a coach and a scout, I'm not, but if I was, would you have a separate profile for each rather than combine together?
So that's here. So you scout profile, player profile, Football Manager save profile. So you can fill them all out. You know, what team are you managing? What version of Football Manager you're playing? Loads of different questions. So to get to a position where we've got verified sources of information in the data layer, we've also got context about the person using it. The answer now should be brilliant,
All right.
right? There's no excuses. The AI engine has good sources of information, it has context about the user, and the answer should be brilliant. So let me move on to that. I'm not going to go into deep depth about that, but you select a primary role, Scott, but you have these different advisors at the top. So you can jump between them and you can use scout mode and you can use coach mode, player mode, football manager mode, goalkeeper mode. And it will give you answers. I want to concentrate on coach mode, if that's okay for just now. Let me just refresh this so I get my prompts. Saves me typing. This is the coach mode. This is what the advisor screen looks like. So it's a little chat bot. You type in a question, you get an answer. I'm not going to type. I'm going to use my voice. I'm going to speak to the engine. So apologies if my audio cuts out because it sometimes does that when I've got two audio sources at the same time. You guys. And I'm trying to speak to this. So, ask what question will I ask it?
Oh,
I'll do
goodness
this.
me.
Give me a passing pattern for this week's training. I don't know if you heard that, but I spoke
Yeah, it
the
came
words
through.
on this. Yeah. Okay. So I'll send that. So this is me asking it a question. Now, you couldn't do this in ChatGPT because it doesn't know the age of your players, doesn't know any context about you as a coach or your team. Because I filled out my profile, it should have the context here to give me an answer that's good. It's taking its time. So straight away, you see that at the top. It referenced my team name, the age of my team. It also referenced generating the exercise, but if it lets me scroll up, I'll let it load.
But all of this is based on the fact that you play, I can't remember what you said exactly, 3-4-1, and you're with the under 12s and all that sort of stuff. So it's already banked that information. And now, ideally, it's spitting out something that is entirely relevant to you. So if my profile then was, I'm a C license coach, but I'm coaching under 16s, and we play 4-3-3, it will spit out something specific to me instead.
Yes, exactly.
So probably what we're doing a year ago is that you're typing pattern passing into Google, I'm typing that into Google, and we're both getting the same thing that's probably not relevant exactly for either of us, but we both end up using it, right?
Or we're doing the same in WhatsApp groups or Twitter or, and everyone's trying to help. Everyone's trying to be helpful. No one's doing anything wrong. They're giving you what you want. But they don't know your context. So this is an infinitely, it's just a huge improvement on that, right? And you can see here, it's actually saying, all right, Riverside FC, let's get your under 12s sharp. It's referencing my qualification level. I also forgot I filled in my team profile. So it's referencing my players by name here. You see that?
Yep.
So it actually knows their positions. So up here, I've got my team. I won't go into it just now because I don't want to break the flow, but it knows that I'm doing 9v9, knows my players, knows my stage as a coach. And it's actually, I didn't think it would do that, but it's gone into a deeper level about the players and who's passing to who. So it's given me something that's quite complete. Now, I'm not going to go and play the animation yet. I want to say something really important here. This has gone from zero to, I would say, 80%, right? So in terms of your session or your exercise or your practice, it's taken you from zero to 80% in, I don't know, 20 seconds. My Wi-Fi is quite slow because I'm on a cruise ship, but 20 seconds, it's taking you to 80%. Now, if it's more than 80%, that's great. But if it's 80% in 20 seconds, that is so much better than having to get a bit of paper out, plan from scratch, and get to 80% in what, 10, 20 minutes? So much better than asking someone else for a session that is out of context potentially. And it's so much better than copying a professional or elite level session that has no relation to my team, the age of them, the stage of them, the stage of me as a coach, the formation that I play, or any of that stuff. So it's taken me to 80% in 20 seconds, as I said, and that's the massive win here. We've saved so much time, saved so much pain, and hopefully we've saved maybe damaging our players by running the wrong session with them. So it's done the animated drill. You'll see it's powered by Coach Power as well. And it's doing that. The screen's not too great here because it's a very small screen, but as you can see, it's running here. It's actually giving me the information and the instructions around the drill. So I can share that with my coaches. I can save it to a PDF. You know, I can drop the link in a WhatsApp chat. They click it, they see the drill. I can save it into my area so I can reference it again. But yes, it's just giving me a dynamic diamond passing patterns. Let me just play it and see if it's any good. And if it's not good, what you have to then do is you need to tell the Football GPT engine what you want to refine. So the stuff that's not quite right, you need to then type and say, oh, you know, Susan shouldn't pass to Stephen. Stephen should be here. So you can refine it. Again, 80% is better than nothing. The day we get to 100%, I might actually start to worry about the future of coaching, but we're not yet.
You know what, Kev? That's a great point because I think we'd all be lying where in the back of our head we're not thinking, well, how does a coach get better then? You know what I mean? So when, as you know, I've got a few books out that talk about session plans for this, that, and the other. And I remember somebody asking me, you know, that they didn't really like experienced coaches spoon feeding other coaches' sessions and things like that. And my answer being, well, the next part is the sort of conversion from what I put on paper to what you put on the grass. So I'll do that, but I'll have less players, or I'll do that, or I'll make the area bigger. And it kind of well went through a filter that we had to do, that coaches had to do, that made you better in itself. In effect, what you're saying is you'd prefer it to go to 80 rather than 100 so that we could still have that development part in what we do in there.
I think the major difference, Ray, so sharing session plans online, everybody does it. I'm not criticizing anybody. I wish we would stop sharing professional session plans online and just and saying stuff like, I'll just run this with your team and they'll win the Champions League or whatever. Your books actually take coaches from a position where, yes, you're giving them session plans, but you're also teaching them how to modify them. You're also teaching them how to behave on the grass with their players, you're actually giving them a more holistic education around coaching. So 80% probably gets them to a point where they then need to apply what they know for the remaining 20%. And it's really important then that you tell Football GPT how much experience you have as a coach. So it's not giving you something that you cannot fill the 20% in. So for me, it's the same thing, just in a different way, if that makes sense.
What would you say to people who'd say, I sent an email out this week saying, is using AI in coaching cheating? Right. And again, the same people, I remember going to university just God, age now, but just as like you could Google stuff and you could find stuff online. It was always quite arduous, and it was kind of seen as cheating. You know what I mean? That, oh, I found this passage from this book. I didn't find it in the library. I found it at home. Do you know what I mean? On my search. Or back in the day, probably when Word documents came out, for example, that would correct your grammar and your spelling. Do you know what I mean? It kind of feels like, of course, an evolution from that. But what would you say to people who are going, well, actually, you're just taking the coaching process out of this. You're just killing it, and no one's going to get better because you're giving them too much help.
I think that's doing a disservice to people who can critically think, right? So no one knows their players and their environment better than the coach. And that element of critical thinking, which we may be losing as a result of tools like this, there's an argument for that. But that element of critical thinking and saying, okay, that part will not work with my players because the environment is XYZ, or, the personalities of the players are different, or these variables that an AI engine will never ever capture. That's where a coach's critical thinking experience, knowledge, that needs to come into play. Anyone who's using tools like this, and they are just tools, it's optional to use any tool. We've seen online that people have, they're strongly opinionated about opposed, unopposed, and other factors of football, and they're going to be strongly opinionated about AI's use in football. If they think it's cheating and they don't want to use it, don't use it. It's just a tool. But if they do want to use it, again, they need to apply critical thinking to everything it delivers because it does not fully understand the environment. It does not fully understand your players' personalities. It doesn't replace the relationship you have with them. You know what makes them tick and if they need a cuddle or a kick up the backside, for example. So, yes, I think that it is scary and it may well put people off and it might not be for everybody, but it's designed. The tools that I've designed anyway are designed to save coaches time and money. No more, no less. It's not promising to revolutionize coaching or anything like that.
Kevin, can I ask just quickly on building what Ray was asking there then? Because I think that makes absolute sense. You know, this is going to give you a foundation, and it's bespoke for you, kind of thing else. But actually, ultimately, you've got to add your bit into that as well. And you know, even with personalities, right? Players can be different from week to week or match to match. So, and you know that about your team. So you've got to have those variables. It's hard to make tangible, isn't it? It's hard to put into words sometimes. It's just like maybe that's the art of coaching or the craft of coaching, the bit that you add into this stuff. So all these tools, as good as a good set of cones or a nice set of plastic goals. This is another tool you can use to add to your session, but it's how you craft that together to make it come to life. And maybe you're going to go on and show us this in a minute. I'm just trying to work out how much you can bespoke this. Could I add in like my game model in here and my values and stuff? Is there things in which I can make that more than just maybe the profile bit at the start? I get that. It's a great foundation to work from, but how bespoke or tailored can I make it about kind of my way so it's unique to me when it produces something? Is that something you can do in this?
The first request or user request I had for this whole football GPT platform was, oh, can I upload my game model so it understands my context deeper? So that was built straight away. Yeah. And that's a really, really good point. So, in terms of, say, you're a DOC, okay? And I'm actually talking to clubs in the States about this right now, actually worldwide, about delivering this platform white labeled for them. So they can put all of their knowledge and their information in it so that their coaches can go and ask it questions and get sessions, information, and use the tool that means their processes are consistent. So if you're a DOC, you don't want to sign your whole team, your whole club up rather, to Football GPT if your methodology is completely different from, English FA and whatnot. And you can see in the demo here, Scott, it did say, this drill aligns with FA's love the ball, love the game philosophy. So it's actually taking philosophies from the FA. So anyway, back to my point. So you want the ability to upload your game model and your club's knowledge and everything that your club does so that when your coaches and your admin staff and your parents and your players are using this, they're getting consistent information based on your information.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Yeah, and again, I think that's adding that value and there's, making it less like what you go and search online for stuff. I mean, it already is less like that when you've got that profile at the beginning, but the more you can tailor it for what you, the model you've created, then the what comes out is going to be more useful, right? And more reflective. And I guess ultimately, which is what it's all about, more practical in the delivery, right? Whether that's trying to, win a game on a Saturday or a Sunday, or whether it's trying to develop a player or something, at least, the more information it's taken from your circumstances, the more chance you get in that transferable outcome that you're trying to achieve. And it looks like, that's what this would do. Kerry, how many currently users would you say are kind of in maybe an academy professional football space, and how many in like a grassroots space? I'm just trying to work that out, because to me it looks like anyone could use it, but maybe I'm being wrong, but it looks like anyone could get benefit out of this. But is it being used universally across different levels of the game, or is it more professional, or is it more grassroots?
A great question. So I would click on this little admin link here, but it probably reveals sensitive information that I don't want to share.
Let's not do that yet.
I think there's two people who have completed the onboarding and said they have a pro license. There are a lot who have level ones and level twos. There are a lot of people who have said that development is their priority, but every single question they've asked has been around session planning. So I have a lot of data. I probably will have, in a few months' time anyway, I'll probably have the most richest data set around grassroots football. I really believe that, because people are asking this thing questions and they're getting answers, and I'm capturing all that information. I'm capturing the level they're working at. What I'm not capturing, Scott, and you've just given me the idea here, is where they're working, the clubs they're working at, and if that's a professional club, an amateur club, a grassroots club. So I'm not capturing things on that level yet,
Well,
but
and it may be working across
I will
many,
be
mightn't
soon.
it? They might be working, like, say, for a Cat One Academy part time, and also running a grassroots team or something on their own. So it's not necessarily university separate. Well, I guess the reason I'm asking the question is I don't want it to be a barrier to entry for anybody, And I know, grass a lot of the audience will be grassroots coaches, and they'll have full time jobs, and they're doing their best with a session or two a week and a match at the weekends. But finding anything new to embrace and take on is a job in itself. And I want people to know that actually this is a fantastic tool. It's there, it's ready, and just go through that door and have a little look at it. Because so I want to encourage people to have a little look and not be put off by the fact actually the complexity that there is around it is behind the scenes. The user interface part of it is actually looks pretty straightforward. I think I could do this, and I know I'm not techie at all. So, am I okay to say that? And would you agree that's kind of where it's positioned?
Yeah, I mean, I built it for grassroots coaches. So if grassroots coaches cannot use it, I'm doing something wrong. But there, anyone can use this. It's so powerful, it will be tiered towards the stage you're at as a coach, whether you're in an academy or not. The only thing I would say, Scott, is so if you go into an academy, they will have ways of working and methodologies and whatnot. We were at Leicester a few weeks ago. And they have their way of working, which will be different from Manchester United, for example. So, as an academy coach, will it help you? Absolutely. Will it help you in line with what your employer wants you to do? Probably not. Can I
Very
just
good.
continue with the demo? Because I'm just conscious
Please. Yeah, please. Yep.
I'm four tabs into this, and I've got a lot more tabs. So, there's questions we
Please
can go
keep talking through it, Kevin, because those that are only listening won't see the visual. So you're doing brilliant, by the way. But if you don't mind explaining what you're doing at the same time, because then people can get a picture at least in their heads of only if they're listening only. But you're doing that already, but just keep it up. Thank you.
That's okay. Something I launched at the tail end of last week is the coaching community. So now you can get access to all of the animated exercises that have been built by users. You can click on them and you can see them and you can share them, QR code them. You can send them on WhatsApp to other coaches. You can copy links. So it's a real community feel around this now. And the reason I did that was because I wanted people to start interacting with each other, sharing practices that they've built, so everyone else can see what's possible and get inspiration from that. I've done that. I've also started doing football manager tactics. As I said, we've got a football manager arm to Football GPT now. So a lot of people have been building football manager tactics and sharing them with the community, which is a popular thing to do. So there's that as well. So we're catering for different audiences at different times. I think I want to build the world's biggest animated practice library eventually. And I think I'll get there given that we've got, thousands and thousands that have been created so far. And I just want to unlock those on a per category basis. And you can even, upvote them. So If you want to search them by most popular, sorry, filter them by most popular, you can see the most popular ones that have been voted on by the community, and you can have a look at those and see if it fits your players. If it doesn't, again, you can chat to the AI engine and say, make this more applicable for the age and stage of my players and all the things that we've talked about already. So not just a drill library or a practice, sorry, right? Practice library, but
Careful.
one you can interact with and enhance to suit your team going forward. We talked about learning earlier on. Does this shortcut learning or does this mean that coaches don't need to learn? I was conscious of that. And a huge area for grassroots coaches is prep for licenses that they've had to pay for and a lot of money to pay for, and how they can better prep for that. So I just built this last week. This is called Football GPT Learn. It's tiered towards different licenses. So I'll just go C license. If I click it, it gives me the different sections of the C license. I can click into that. I can have a read of it. So it's full of information. But most importantly, if I want to have a little quiz to test my knowledge of C license content, I can go on and have a quiz. Ask me a question. It gives me four answers. I need to select the correct answer. So for those that can't see, the first C license question is, at the grassroots level, what should be the primary focus of a football coach? Nice, easy entry. The answers are winning matches and league positions, player development and enjoyment, identifying talented players for academies, and preferred tactical formations. I'd be interested to see what the answer spread is on this question, to be honest. But I think the correct answer is B. It's like a Duolingo kind of thing. It gives you hearts, it gives you experience points for getting the correct answers. If you run out of hearts, you've got to start again. So it's a real interactive quiz using AI to measure your progress as a coach. And eventually, I'll get a little league table on the go so coaches can compete with each other. But again, this is helping grassroots coaches who are spending thousands on licenses, potentially, you know, $8.25 a month, $8.25 a month. They can come in here, they can access this. They can prepare for their course. They can do a little quiz as many times as they want to make sure they've got the knowledge and it's solidified and they are ready for their course, or they can do it after their course just to test themselves out. A little bit of fun with an educational element to it. So I built that. Any questions on that one?
Looks
Ray's
great.
blown away. Ray's blown away. I can see it.
It's
This is what I talked
the
about earlier on, right? So this is the match analysis tool that I've just built. It's a little rusty at the moment. It's still in beta, but essentially, I gave it this YouTube link to a game that's from 2021 that I had in my library. So it's an amateur game. So I sent it the link from YouTube. It's a nice little interface to do that. It's given me some match insights. So for those who can't see, it's basically broken down the match. It said the possession stats, chances created, set pieces. It's given me information on where we had attacking biases. Can you see that? Okay, guys, so I'll zoom in a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, that's no, okay.
The attacking biases, our primary attacking threat was down the right wing, but the left winger had a good opportunity to cross for a goal. I don't know whether that doesn't make any sense, but that will evolve over time. What I will say about this whole football GPT platform, the more people use it, the more it learns, the more it self-learns. So it's not me having to feed it information. It's actually analyzing all the information. It's learning and it's evolving and it's getting better all the time. But this is an alternative to other tools that are out there that do this. There's lots of tools that tag up games and this gives you information. You can add your own match notes. You can even watch the clips. So if I click this, it'll take me to the clip on YouTube and it will show me the clip that it's targeted. Won't watch that, but it will then allow me to filter those clips by different actions, essentially. And as I said, it's on your somewhere, it's maybe back a level. I can go back and I can have a conversation with the AI engine about the footage. And it can give me some insight on what it's learned, what it's seen. And basically, it'll allow me to take what's happened in the match into training and understand it on a deeper level. Oh, I think this is on in the background. I'll turn it off. More blank look. This is Ray, on you go.
Yeah, when I use, I'm talking generic ChatGPT now to, for example, I remember early on as I was exploring it, I put in, I think it might have been like an interview or someone being interviewed on a YouTube clip, and it could give me, it felt like it was reading body language of the person being interviewed by its frame, so to speak. So the detail, I didn't think you'd be able to do this, what you've just done there through that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because it was so clunky when I tried to do it before. It was sort of like, we can tell you more, but you need to give me the transcript for that interview instead, so we can sort of pick it apart. This is doing it now without you tagging things, without you needing, I can't remember some of, I don't even want to give examples, to be fair, of some of the analysis tools that you might have. It is doing this independently.
That's how far we've come. So there are other sports, other industries where this technology is being used, and the barrier to entry now is low. I always say this. So a few years ago, the time it took from idea to execution was quite long. Could be weeks, could be months, could be years. You know, building a car, for example, had an idea for a car. You had to design it. You had to make sure. There's a lot of layers to go through before you can actually build the car. Now, I mean, I could go on any website on the internet, on any, and basically copy it in less than an hour, have it working. You know, there was a, I'll share this story. My wife, her work, her old work, they were looking at an insight tool which was doing analysis using AI and predicting outcomes for customers. And they were going to charge a significant amount of money for this. And I said, I could build this. I basically replicated 80%, 70% of it, whatever it was, in an hour. So there's no barrier, there's no moat to doing these things. So as soon as one person does it, someone else can not copy, but repurpose the tool. And I've seen yesterday someone just basically copied Football GPT and relabeled it as something else. Whether it works the same, I don't know. But that's why I'm giving away all my knowledge for free. That's why I'm just sharing it all like this in all my community, because anyone can do this if they have the tools, the skill, and the time. They can just go and copy the whole stack. So that's not the barrier. And it will keep going because of that. It will keep going and going and going. The competition and the copying will force people to come up with new things and new ways, which will then be copied in different industries. So I don't know where we're going next, but if we keep up this competition level, it will be mind-blowing, absolutely mind-blowing.
Do you think, Kev, that there could be so much replication that it will just increase the amount of options? Or do you think over time it will actually reduce it because ultimately one or two will be best and the rest will just fall away? What are you thinking? Because obviously the web in itself is vast. Will it narrow everything, do you think, and just send us down more targeted places?
Nah. Because the, as I said earlier on, the time it takes from idea to execution in the next 6 to 12 months, you will use a conventional tool that exists, ChatGPT, Claude, whatever, and you will say, build me an app to analyze a football match, and here is the footage of the football match. It'll go and build the app, it'll analyze the football match, it'll build something like you're seeing on my screen at the moment, and afterwards you'll just mothball it. And when you need to do it again, you'll just go and get that conventional tool to build it. That's where we're heading. You know, apps are everywhere. We'll be swimming in them soon. Websites like this will be absolutely swimming in them soon. And that's just because of what I said earlier on. The thing for me is we're still at that level where it does require a little bit of knowledge from the human in the loop. I don't think we'll ever get to a position where we will never need that. So you'll be able to build your own apps, but they'll just be for you. You wouldn't be able to sell them to anyone else or anything like that. But that's where we're heading, guys. And that sounds scary. And you can think of the impact of that across many, many industries. There are many big companies in the world who rely on you to pay them money to access their services.
But how then, Kevin, we talk about the human element, right? A part of the human element in this situation is me as the coach trusting the app, the website that we land on, right? For being validated, for being good. Like, if everyone can just replicate any of this, how do we, or 70% replicate it, how do we know we're in the right place? Do you know what I mean? What is it just down to, I don't know what kind of validation can be used for that.
Don't think there's any validation. It's that critical thinking element again. As I said earlier on, I think football coaches who are sharing things online, you need to be a better marketer than an experienced coach. And me as a consumer, I need to critically think. I need to think, who is sharing this information? Is it information or is it wisdom? Who's sharing this app? Have they just gone on to a professional football data set and built something on top of that? They have no experience of coaching, they have no experience of football, and they're just looking to make a quick buck. I would say 80 to 90% of the time, yes, Ray, that's where we've got to, unfortunately, in this space. So you as a person, you would probably need to assess who's providing the tool and what knowledge they have, what experience they have, because that's going to give the little cherry on top to make it useful for you. And that's your validation. It'd be your critical thinking.
Kevin,
There's
that, I
no.
agree with you. I think just on that point, when you said earlier about anyone could do this, and I'm sure anyone that's, that knows a bit about this world probably can, but to Ray's point, I think the difference is actually the person behind doing it, isn't it? That's the bit that makes difference, because obviously you've got a passion for this. It comes from a really good place. You know what you're talking about, both from a technical point of view and a football point of view, and therefore you'd hope the quality that comes out from a user side is obviously going to reflect that. Or actually, if someone didn't know as much about it and was just doing it either for a commercial reason or for another reason, agenda, maybe the quality is not quite as good. So I guess as a consumer, our challenge is to make sure, okay, what's the source behind this? Who are the people, who's done it, what's the rationale for doing it, and then trying to filter through the ones that maybe aren't quite right for us and the ones that are a better fit. And that maybe is the challenge that lies ahead, when the fact there's going to be surplus everything, as there already is, and just knowing what questions to ask or what to look out for when you're trying to choose tools that are going to suit you. And my worry is, like with grassroots coaches, is the fact they're so busy, and they've got no little time that they being able to see the wood through the trees, if you like, and get into the right stuff. And on your point about being a good marketeer, I think that's important, but having the substance behind that as well, so you market as well as the quality of the thing you've created based on the foundation that you've got as a person or as an organization. And maybe that's the challenge for us moving forward.
I think it's a good question, Ray. And I think that trust on the internet is hard to gain. It takes a long time, but it's even quicker to break trust. So if someone logs onto your app and it's a pile of junk, some people want to help you as a builder improve it, but some people will just not come back. So you know what? You really need to have a good product that I think helps people. And I want people to build tools like this. I want 100 tools like this, 200 tools like this, because it'll help grassroots coaches. And that's been my mission now for many, many years. And I will help people to build tools like this. I'm very open and honest about that. I don't really want to gatekeep all this knowledge. So if we have more and more tools that come out that's like Football GPT, that's completely fine from my point of view. But what I do wish is for people just to talk to me first. Because, as I said, I'm not going to keep anything to myself. I'm going to actually teach you how to build these things. So, if you're going to copy it, at least make it of the same quality level so you are actually helping people instead of maybe just trying to steal a quick buck off them. That would be my only caveat to what I said.
Is there a risk, Kevin? I'm talking really broadly now, and maybe really starting to veer off topic. But is there a risk that good creators, like early adopters, like the first one in the door, is there a chance, like yourself, really, with this, is there a chance that people start taking this? I don't know if offline is the right word to use. You can see I'm not a techie, but is there potential for people to go, well, actually, I don't want this replicated. This is my thing, and you would take it and offer it out differently. I don't know if the question makes exact sense, but I could imagine a lot of content creators being really affronted if they thought that they could be copied and replicated in 3 steps and lose all that.
Let me just continue. So these are all the tools I've built. Let me just jump ahead to this one, right? So this is your session diagram, Ray. So I'm going to answer your question with a little demonstration. This is your one of your session diagrams from your book. So as I said earlier on, I've built the facility where you can upload a photo of that. So the photo that I just showed you, this one, to Football GPT, and it can turn it into an animated drill. So it's identified there are five practices within this session plan. So five practices, and if I hit animate five activities, the output of that will be the animations. And I've got these handy because I've already sent them to you, Ray. But it's animated those diagrams for you. So again, when people can do that. And this might make you nervous. You might sue me now because people can do that with your diagrams. And that's why we've added your logo to the animated practices. But if people can do that with anything, then they can copy you. And if you're not comfortable with that, I mean, this, sorry, step back a second, Kevin. This is not exclusive to Football GPT. You could copy anything with any of these AI tools, right? Books, anything, websites, anything. This is not a Football GPT thing. But if you're not comfortable with the fact that someone could copy you, then and infringe your copyright, which has been happening for many, many years in the coaching spaces, you probably know better than I do, Ray. If you're not comfortable with that, you're going to be very, very, very nervous, and you might as well just take all your stuff offline. I really, really believe that.
Yeah. Kevin, so look, this is fantastic. I'm conscious of time and we want to make sure we've seen everything that you want to show us. That's the most important thing first. But also I'm keen to know where you think this could be heading. I know we spoke about some of the potential pitfalls and stuff that lies ahead, but where do you see this tool, the football GPT tool going? What's the next 5 years look like? Obviously, it's come on loads from the last 5 years. So, what's your anticipation of how this may grow moving forward?
So, in terms of scouting and things like that, the improvements in this space every day are huge. And I think that in terms of that side of the game where there is money and there needs to be spend, that will just be crazy. Not sure where it will go technically, but yeah, there'll have to be advances in that side of the game. If you think of the spend that clubs undertake on resources, staff, tools that they use every single day. And as I said earlier on, integrating those tools would be massive. But if someone could come along with a unified solution that basically takes all of the data in an organization and takes it in real time, so someone submits a scout report or some football GPT type engine analyzes a footage and you say, just analyze this one player. And then feed the report into the system, and it's unified. And the system's saying, okay, this player is like this existing player we've already got, but the player I'm scouting is 5 years younger. He's worth X. He's got these flaws. That's probably where we're heading on that front. From a football GPT and a grassroots coach's point of view, I think, again, it needs to be more unified. So I've got a lot of tools and features that are siloed from the match analysis tool. Then you have to have a conversation about it. Then it needs to feed into your training plan. Wouldn't it be great if you just had a one-click solution? So you didn't actually have to look at any of the footage. You just uploaded it, it analyzed it, and it said, okay, here's your weaknesses, here's your strengths, here's how to fix the weaknesses, here's how to continue the strengths, here's the plan for the next 12 weeks or 16 weeks, whatever you choose, go away and do it. As a grassroots coach, I'm just like, woohoo, I don't have to do any session planning, I don't have to do any match analysis. You know, it's great. And maybe it can come and say, what are going to be the parent objective? Parent, what's the word I'm looking for? It's gone. What are the parent objections? It's a simple word. I couldn't remember it. What are going to be the parent's objections? So if it comes back and says, I think you should play 1-4-1 and rotate the single defender so they can get lots of 1v1 learning with defender in front, sorry, attacker in front, attacker to the side, and then recovery. Parents might object to that because we're going to get beat because we're playing 1-4-1. How do I handle the parent objections? So a unified integrated tool, which I've already started building, that will save that time and that money. But we cannot continue to build tools like this and have to subscribe to another 10 to 15 tools to get the same level of functionality. So going back to Ray's point earlier on, I think the gap will close. And existing tool providers will latch on to some of the stuff that's been built and build it themselves. And everything will just get better for grassroots coaches and coaches in general, which will be a huge win. Huge, huge win.
Absolutely. And Ray, from your side of things, then from kind of coach development side, obviously you've been working with Kevin recently anyway. Are you seeing more of this now then? Is AI becoming more of a conversation? And not from your perspective, then, so I'm sure it is, but from people that you're talking to, are they already in this? Is it a safe space to talk about now, or is it still a bit new?
I think it's still new. I feel like it's new. I feel like when you push it out there, you have, I think, like with all tech, you have early adopters and you have those who lean in early, and those who don't, and those who kind of reject it for a long time. And I'm sure you'll still have listeners, Scott, that don't like to use tech at all in their coaching. And I must admit, like when I'm planning sessions, I'll have like you, I'll have a notepad and I'll have my phone if I need some inspiration or if I have some, you know, resources on there that I go to. And I think we've been comfortable doing that for probably 20 years now. So I think there's a generation of adult coaches, say, that have always coached that way. But I think of the coaches that coaches will always complain about time, especially those in grassroots who work and that, you know, the Tuesday night where they get home, they have something quick to eat and they sort of mentally plan somewhere between the car and the first cone they put on the pitch. To be able to have a, whether it's a search tool there and then, and I don't want to undersell this as just a session planning thing either, because it's, as Kev has shown, there's so much more. And if people want to see so much more, just have a scan through the X account, the Football GBT X account. It's phenomenal. And what blows my mind is it's all accessible. You know, you don't need to be able to code or anything like that or be a techie. But speaking to people in general, I think they might kind of sense that there's a storm brewing, but because it's so vast, they don't engage in it, or they haven't engaged in it. But sooner or later, 2 years' time, Kev, the three of us will probably laugh at what we're talking about on this podcast, in a sense, because it will have moved on and been adopted so much that it might be something that everyone is fully au fait with within no time.
Yeah.
Guys, if time permits, can I just go over a couple of quick things? So we talked about technique analyzer. This is a very low level example that's on the homepage. This is a professional player that I coached. I think he's in League Two in England now. But, you know, you can see there it's got a skeleton around him and it's just analyzing his technique. The full feature itself gives a breakdown of the technique and plus points.
So for those that are audio only, what we're seeing here is a player, the camera's focused on one player. They're like, it's like an outline of the body shape, isn't it? And they're just receiving, touching and playing, passing and shooting, aren't they? But it's analysing actions, it to give feedback on how their technique is.
Yeah, exactly. And it's changed a lot. I encourage people to check that out. But the one I want to really highlight, and I'm very good at complaining about how we will take exercises from the internet and run them unfiltered. We don't apply that critical thinking that I keep talking about. So very good at complaining, but I've also designed solutions to fix it. So Football GPT has an exercise adapter. And as I said earlier on, it knows you as a coach and it knows your players because you filled in that profile. So if you go and download something that says PSG passing exercise, you can then upload it to Football GPT and it'll put it through its AI engine and then it will adapt it for the age and stage of your players and you as a coach. So you can then deliver that to your players so that they understand it and they're getting the most out of the session and you are as well as a coach. And I'm absolutely huge. If you've followed me on X for a while, I just rant about the dropout rate in football. So this tool and the other tools not only save coaches time and money, but hopefully it also helps more and more players fall in love with the game, stay in the game, and just make everything appropriate for them. So I just wanted to do that. A couple other things as well that I've built. Coach Reflection, huge on reflection. I've done reflection for many years. I've built a solution for it. There's already 500 coaches in it. Basically, you can record your reflection on your phone, upload the audio. You can write it, take a photo of it, upload it to Coach Reflection. You can reflect in many, many ways. It will act as a personal mentor, and it will also act as a second brain. So you can journal, you can reflect, and it will collate that over time. And over time, it gets better and better because it starts to understand you as a coach better. And you can have a conversation with Coach Reflection completely independent. You don't need to, you know, worry about what the other person will think or say, but it will also, it's comfortable in the middle. It will challenge you. So if you upload audio of your session, so for example, a 60-minute session, you upload the audio from that, ask it what it thinks, and it starts to hear language or phrases that are not appropriate for the age of your players, it will flag that to you. It will challenge you on it. If you upload the audio and you mention Mia more times than any other player, it will challenge you on that. It'll ask you if that was deliberate, or are you overcoaching, or are you, it will actually be a mentor to you. That's there. I've just built one on the player side. It's called Player Reflect. It's completely free for players. They can do the same thing. They can go on and they can reflect. I think it's huge. We don't do it enough as players. We don't encourage it enough as coaches. So there's playreflect.com. I've just built refereegpt.co, which is the quiz style that we saw earlier on. It helps referees learn how to be a referee, essentially. It's a learning tool. And lastly, sorry guys, I'm using this as a personal marketing pitch now.
It's
Lastly,
fine. You're okay.
I've built this thing called the Football Coaching Directory. So if you are someone who provides resources to other coaches, you can put them on this directory. If you provide session plans, this is the world's first revenue sharing football coaching session economy. You upload your sessions, someone subscribes, you get 50% of that, or a share of 50% of that as a content creator. So two things to solve with this: distribution, which I think in these days a lot of things get drowned out. Ray's already mentioned it. My Football GPT page is not getting a lot of traction. It's getting drowned out by other stuff. This will hopefully help with that. So I've got a lot on the go. There's constant evolution and constant refinement. This is not even half of it. But hopefully I'm giving an impression here where I'm just trying to help different people involved in football. That is my main motivation. It's not making any sort of money or anything like that. And I encourage people to go and check these tools out and get a bit of traction behind them so I can make them even better.
Kevin, it comes across like that. It honestly does. It doesn't come like we've got no shame in this podcast and promoting good stuff for the right reasons for the right people. And that's exactly what this is. Okay. So thank you so much for going through it. Just a quick question because we brushed over it. On the session review bit, you said about uploading the audio, like you can talk about how the session went. Could you record a session and then it give you an analysis of that? Or is there any way you could, like, if I video one of my sessions, could it then tell me how I could improve and do things next time? Or is it more about how you explain the session and it gives you feedback or the audio only?
Yeah, I've tried that. The problem is the cost. So if you're putting a video through for analysis, it doesn't really cost. It costs, obviously, but it doesn't cost a lot. If you're putting through audio, it costs. If you're putting them through together, it needs to split them. It's double the cost. So I would need to increase the costs of subscription because I think I'd be quickly bankrupted if I did that.
Well, I'm sure, because I'm sure that'd be a really popular tool, wouldn't it? But like you say, it's all got to work for the right reasons. But I think what you have got is phenomenal, and there is so much there. I know that was a whistle stop tour of it all, but thank you for sharing it, Ray. Just your kind of closing thoughts, I guess, on what Kevin spoke about, and also what you guys are doing together moving forward. Be quite interested to know from your side again, development side. How you're using Kevin to work and promote some of these stuff and share it, the resources.
I kind of felt a little while ago when Kevin and I first started talking about this, it kind of felt like, when you've watched a really good movie and you have to tell everyone about it. That's how I felt. And everyone you tell about it kind of goes, oh, okay. And you go, no, seriously, you've got to have a look at this. So that was kind of the kind of motivation as well for today, was to just give this a platform. Moving forward, long term, I have no doubt that it'll be so common in people's coaching and lives that it will be, really day to day. But yeah, that's kind of the journey I'm on now. And in terms of development, it's what I do, and obviously what Kev does, and we do it in the same spaces but in different ways. And just said, look, let's team up, and anyone who's interested can jump in for, we've got a 4 week, say 4 week, it's a four lesson program where people can jump in, interact with Kev at the end. Kev is going to do a live build around some of this stuff as well, and give people an opportunity to start. That's what I want. I want to be able to get people who will go, be able to log into some of this stuff and use it and not feel like they're overwhelmed or missing a step. I've tried that with other things before myself, and when you're trying to kind of self-learn, it feels difficult. So we wanted to get rid of all that and get straight to the point. And yeah, no better man to help me do that than Kev.
And Kevin, obviously we've covered a lot there. I don't want to let you go without giving you, have we missed anything we've not asked you, we should have asked you, or anything you wanted to say that we've not given you a chance to say, because you've covered so much in a really short space of time. But I don't want to let you go until we're sure we've covered everything, at least touched on it. Anything we've missed out?
No, I'd appreciate it. People could just go and follow me on Twitter. That's where I post a lot of my updates. So coach underscore Kevin underscore M, that's there. But also to, if you want to learn, if you're interested in this stuff, race course, obviously, I'm doing it at a much lower level for free on my school community. So yeah, jump on there, but follow me on Twitter and you'll see all this good stuff. And if you've got any questions, please just reach out to me. I get so many messages now every single day across different platforms. It's very difficult to keep up. Thinking about building an AI tool to do that, but
That's what I was going to say. You need to get some chat going. But okay, that's been awesome. Thank you so much. Well, look, we'll put the show, well, in the show notes, we'll put the links and everything you've mentioned there so people can find the resources nice and easy and reach out to you. So thank you for that. Ray, thank you so much for getting Kevin on and organizing this. It's been fascinating. I've learned loads. I'm definitely that user that's kind of keen to be using this stuff, but needed an intro to that world. So it's been really beneficial for me. And Ray, I guess you're going to just keep working with these and keep us updated on how things are going with it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Kevin, I think day one is the 12th of April, I seem to think. So if obviously before that point, if you want to jump on that with us, you'll head to X or wherever it is, or the show notes of this, to find that course. But it'll sit there anyway. Once April has come and gone. So, look, I'm really excited about it, and I do think going into the future, it will be something that that coaches will look back on and think, yeah, I'm glad I did that.
Yeah, awesome. Kevin, thank you so much for your time. It's much appreciated. Look, this world moves pretty fast. So if you're up for it, would you come back on maybe in 6 months or so time and give us an update on how it's going with this one? And we didn't speak about school either, which I know about, which would be great to cover a bit about that as well. But give us an update on how things are. Would you do that from wherever you
Yeah.
are in the oceans, wherever
Yeah.
sea you may be in?
Don't know where I'll be, but I'll jump back on.
Top man. Thank you so much. Thanks, Kevin. Thanks, Ray. Appreciate that.
Your
Thanks, both.
AI assistant can come on, Kevin,
We won't even know, would we?
and I'll be lying on a sun lounger. Don't blame you.
Brilliant. Cheers, guys.
Thank you.
This episode was brought to you in association with our friends at Soccer Coach Weekly. Established since 2006, Soccer Coach Weekly is a leading source of inspiration and advice for all grassroots coaches. Join thousands of youth soccer coaches just like you, saving time and effort in their goal of having the most effective, enjoyable and successful coaching journey for them and their players. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the episode.